What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet, presented by Off the Glass. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey? How we doing?
Doing good, Nick. Always excited to hop on the NBA Outlet. My second pot of the day, but I'm feeling juiced.
Feeling juiced up. Already got some reps in, ready to talk some hoops. This is going to be an express episode. We're going to give you a bigger and better episode on Sunday, but we'll have a little fun today. And as always, you can check out the outlet on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But what we're going to do today, Corey, is a little pop-off or drop-off. So pretty much I'm going to give you some teams, some players, and they're going to pop off and get better, drop off and get worse, you know, kind of go through. We're going to look at some of the somewhat mediocre teams or some of the teams that kind of caught our eye early on. Start us off, your favorite team, the Detroit Pistons.
So it's pop off or what is
pop drop off? Is good, drop off is bad.
I think it's a drop off. We've talked about the Pistons a lot over the last couple of weeks, which is good for the Pistons because they don't normally get a lot of airtime. But their offensive struggles are going to really hurt them going forward. They've already lost five in a row. The defense is solid. I think Blake Griffin's a really good piece with Drummond, but the rest of that team around those guys isn't very good. And after that hot stretch, they've really come back down to earth.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, probably steady or probably drop off a little bit because this is a team that relies a lot on Blake Griffin, obviously, and this is knock on wood. We don't want him to get injured, but he has got injured a lot in his career. I know a lot of Detroit fans have complained about Reggie Jackson. So if Blake were to go down at any point, that would really hurt them. Like you mentioned, offensive struggles. It's probably not going to get any easier unless they add a piece. You know, Luke Kennard, you know, starting to get 100% probably will help them. But still, I think they're leaning towards drop off as well. Moving over to the West, Memphis Grizzlies.
I'm also going to say drop off as well. I actually, is there a steady option? Maybe a slight drop off?
We'll give you a steady option, yeah.
All right. For me, I think the Grizzlies are going to be steady. Obviously, they were off to a tremendous start. The defense has been really good. Mike Conley, Marc Gasol have been fantastic. Gasol having some of the best shooting numbers of his career as he turns 34. But they're struggling as of late. They're 4 in their last 10. The offense is going to be an issue for them. I think they need to add somebody if they want to actually move up in the standings. But for me, they're going to be steady. I think they're right around this 6-7 seed range in the West.
Yeah, I think the injury to Dylan Brooks, which Brendan Smart just wrote about, how they've kind of dropped off since then. But it kind of makes me lean towards drop off. Obviously, they are towards the top of the Western Conference standings. Now they're more around the 6-7 seed. I think a drop off is a possibility here because Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, if anybody goes down, you see how much Dylan Brooks has meant to that team. You know, injury elsewhere could really cause some problems. So I'd go towards steady or drop off. How about the Dallas Mavericks?
I'm saying pop off. I really like this. What?
That Luka hype?
Yeah, all hail Luka. So they're 12-2 at home, and they're 2-9 on the road. That kind of scares me, the fact they're not winning on the road. They're 7 in their last 10. And as you mentioned, Luka Doncic fever. I mean, the other night when he torched the Rockets, I don't know if you saw any of the highlights from the end of that game, or that was tremendous. I mean, he really scored 8 straight or whatever it was. The step back is nasty. He wasn't even playing that well offensively beforehand, but I think he's – him and Victor Oladipo, I think, are tied for first, or they're first and second in clutch shooting percentage. Luka Doncic, like 63.6. I think Oladipo is 63.4. But they've been incredible, and the role players are playing well. Harrison Barnes having a low-key year, and it kind of feels like they may even make a move. Maybe they'll move Wesley Matthews or bring in some younger talent, but this team could still play for an 8 seed.
Yeah, I think it's pop off as well. I think you look at Luka, Dennis Smith Jr., you know, some of these guys in this team, they're only going to gel more as the season progresses. And like you said, that 12-2 home record is very promising because I think you can improve on the road as the season progresses and you get more comfortable with each other. I'm kind of buying some of that Luka hype myself. The Orlando Magic, though.
Drop off. 100% drop off. I'm not impressed. They've won 3 of their last 10, 3 in a row. D.J. Augustine, the point guard, who was off to a really good start, is kind of coming back down to earth, the shooting splits. He was shooting like 44 and 43 at one point. And then you look at other guys like Aaron Gordon really hasn't impressed in this after signing that big deal. He's remained relatively the same. Obviously, Vucevic has been really good for them, but there's just not a lot going on. Evan Fournier hasn't taken a step. He's so hot or cold shooting-wise. For me, it's drop-off.
I like a drop off here too. I think it would make sense for the Magic to make a trade and grab an asset and trade Vucevic or, you know, one of the other veterans on the team, because the point guard issue isn't going to get any better unless they add a piece, unless they go all in. That's the only way I could see them popping off, if they were to make a trade for, you know, a starting caliber point guard. I think DJ Augustine is solid as your backup, but he's not somebody you necessarily want starting. The New Orleans Pelicans.
I just want to say one more thing to note, Nick, on the Magic. Just also, they're not playing like their guys, Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac. Like, those guys should be playing more minutes when you're at the point they are, but they're trying to compete when you really should be letting your rookies, play. That's also just for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you want I could understand Bamba not playing a little bit because, you know, they want to work him in as a rookie. But a sophomore player like Jonathan Isaac, who already missed a lot of last season, who's had some really impressive defensive stretches, I think it's important to develop him and really work for your franchise. And let's be honest, what's more important, him developing his skill set or fighting for an 8 seed in the East where you're going to get knocked out in the first round and probably swept?
Amen.
So back to the West, though, New Orleans Pelicans.
I'm going to say pop off. They've been sluggish. They kind of went through a little drought, four for their last 10, 4-6 in those 10. Anthony Davis has come out and even said that he's just not playing very well right now, and he really hasn't been. He's kind of struggling. I think Jrue Holiday is fantastic. I love Julius Randle's fit early. A team that desperately could use some sort of addition at the wing, but I think they're going to pop off because I think Davis is just – in a little bit of a funk, and that team needs him and Holiday to be that dynamic duo that we saw last year in the playoffs.
I like Popoff here too as well. I think the reasons you mentioned, also Elfrid Payton will eventually be back. This is a team that's, I think, was just mentioned to be active on the trade market, looking to add either a point guard or a wing. And, you know, Anthony Davis was dealing with the elbow strain, so he just kind of has to get his gel back and kind of work back into the system. And I know Evan Dial just mentioned their new lineup. Putting Julius Randle in the starting lineup should help give them a boost. I like New Orleans to pop off. Obviously, going into season, we're pretty high in them, so I expect it. Minnesota Timberwolves.
Surprisingly, I'm going to say pop off. Even though they've lost two in a row, I really like what I see from Minnesota. I'm not sure it's sustainable, and I'm not sure if somebody doesn't get hurt at some point in time because, again, the starters are still playing a lot of minutes. But Karl-Anthony Towns has been the guy I normally sleep on. When people say he's a top three center, I say no way. And, you know, if you look at the tape with him and Jimmy Butler, I could probably back that up. Since Jimmy Butler's been gone, I can't back that up anymore. I mean, he's been fantastic since Jimmy Butler's been gone. Everything is up, all of his numbers. He looks so much more confident out there. Derrick Rose is in the conversation for Sixth Man of the Year. Covington was a great addition. Dario Saric isn't shooting well, but, like, I just love that fit on the bench. The bench unit has said they love playing together. It just feels like Jimmy Butler was the cancer, and you cut him out, and it feels like this team is actually starting to come together as a unit.
Yeah, I think Popoff too. You look at Karl-Anthony Towns, like you mentioned. We talked about him on our previous show. Jeremy Fried wrote an article about his splits without Jimmy Butler. He can get better. Some of the other players can get better. They can gel a little bit. They're starting to play defense. The way they're playing now is more sustainable to win games. I don't know how far they'll get, but I think they'll be better than they were early in the season.
Do you even make the case if Wiggins, like, actually starts to play worth some of his money that he's being paid, this team really will pop off, because he's actually probably the biggest question mark.
Yeah, and that's a big question mark still. I don't know if I have any confidence in that, but, you know, we hope for the best for him. We don't want to see him, you know, decline or have a bad season. It would be nice for him to kind of live up to that draft type. How about my Brooklyn Nets?
You're setting me up here. I'm going to say pop off, only because the stretch they just came off was already their drop off, and I think they are going to pop off from this little, you know, what are they, 2 for their last 10 after losing 8 in a row. Two nice wins, though. They've bounced back. They're going to get healthier. D'Lo can play this aggressive. I really like it. I've already liked everything I've seen from Jared Allen this year. Still waiting for Allen Crabbe to kind of get out of whatever he's in.
And you guys starting to get out of the funk a little bit. It'd be nice if he can get some consistency, but he's the definition of hot and cold right now.
Yeah. And when Caris LeVert, is he coming back this year?
Yes. My man Caris LeVert was already earlier this week on the exercise bike. There was reports he was walking around the locker room with no boot. Kenny Atkinson mentioned he's already shooting in the gym. So very excited about Caris LeVert.
All right, so you can lock in as a pop-off, because as soon as he gets back, if his team keeps playing like it is now, they're going to take it to another level, because he is Bill Simmons. I still am waiting for some kind of Caris LeVert talk, but he's big time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think pop-off, you mentioned the 8-game losing streak and obviously a couple more bounces and, you know, Maybe the Nets are in the eighth seed right now. I think they can learn a lot from that stretch, and hopefully they can build off this two-game winning streak that they're on right now. Caris LeVert coming back, and player development is Kenny Atkinson's, you know, major strength. So these guys, I think, are going to get better. You know, there is a possibility they could trade some veterans, but I think the young guys will really step up. So I'm looking for them to be better from the rest of the season out. How about the Utah Jazz?
Drop off.
Ooh.
I think we talked about the other day. I don't think this is a team that makes the playoffs. I just don't see it unless they make a roster shakeup. The offense is just pretty bad. Donovan Mitchell has taken a huge step backwards. We can kind of dance around it. He's just not efficient. The other night he didn't even score until like the second quarter. It's either too much Donovan Mitchell or not enough Donovan Mitchell. And even too much Donovan Mitchell is still kind of inefficient. They just need more scoring. Rudy Gobert has been solid, but defenses have figured out how to kind of abuse him and take him out of the paint and limit him on defense. It's just not enough here for me. They needed to make more moves. Last year, I felt like just everything worked. It just doesn't feel like this is the same team.
Yeah, and to defend Donovan Mitchell, I think so much pressure has been on him because Ricky Rubio hasn't been as great as a scorer as he won last season. He wasn't shooting as well. I think it's probably a drop-off from last year, and I want to say their play will stay the same where they're at unless they make a move, which we talked about, maybe making a big trade or something along those lines. What about L.A. Clippers?
I'm going to say drop-off. And that's not because I don't like this team, because they've won 6 of their last 10. They're really fun. Montrezl Harrell, who we've talked about a lot. Gallinari's having a career year. Tobias Harris is really taking the step from his Orlando days, of course. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, really good job on his name. He's been playing extremely well. Avery Bradley's been solid. Doc Rivers deserves some Coach of the Year nods. But this is just a high level of play. Granted, Lou Williams hasn't even been playing that well. His shooting splits are down. But I just think there's too many teams with more star power that I think will jump them in time. So I'm not saying like drop off, a considerable amount, but a slight drop off, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think a slight drop off here. I don't think they're going to be as well as they're playing early in the season, but they're going to kind of get back to the level. And some of the other Western Conference teams, I think, are going to be a little bit better from here on out. Let's go with a bad team here. What about the Chicago Bulls? Is it going to get worse or is it going to get better? Obviously, they've been in the news a lot the last couple weeks.
I'm saying rock bottom. there's no more drop-off. They're there, and they're going to continue to stay there. The locker room mess, the Jim Boland situation with players kind of forming a mutiny. It's not good. They don't play defense, and even – after they had some kind of coach and players meeting or players only meeting, and then the coaches and players meeting, they gave up 30 points in the second half to the Kings to lose the other night.
Yeah, they gave up a lot of points. They only scored, I think, 30, and the Kings scored like 60, and they ended up getting blown out by the fourth quarter. Yeah,
and it was like they were up by 10 at halftime. Right, they had 56 at halftime. And I remember one possession in the fourth, De'Aaron Fox drove by five Chicago Bulls. Five of them. He just drove down the field. No one with him. Just five Bulls. He got by all of them for a layup. I don't see that changing. This team's an absolute mess. They need some guy to develop into big time talent. But the guys they have don't want to play defense, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, they need a front office change. They need a culture setter at the head coach position, at the GM position. Things just are not nice there. It's making Chicago look like one of the worst franchises currently in the NBA. Hitting up the Southeast Division, what about the Miami Heat?
I would have to really lean towards steady or lean in the middle towards steady. But if anything, it's probably going to be a slight drop-off. I just don't see this team getting much better. I think they're a solid team or a scrappy team. They're not going to be an easy out. We just saw that on Monday when they played the Lakers. They grinded it out till the end. But I don't see much for them. I think they'll be around the eighth seed. They'll probably remain pretty close to here. But if anyone gets hurt, like a Jim Richardson, this team probably plummets. So I'm going to say slight drop-off to steady.
Yeah, I'm liking drop-off here. I think they've been active on the trade market. The only way they're popping off is if they pull off some amazing trade from Pat Riley. They're just not very good. You know, offensively, they struggle to put up points. You know, if they do have the guys that can score points, they're a liability defensively, so they need to pick up the defense. So it's just like Miami's in a really weird position. I kind of advocate for them to tank, but it's not my call, obviously. Washington Wizards.
It's just a tough one because it goes – it's like really on the fence right now. I'm going to say drop off. And I'm going to say drop off because I think this doesn't get much better and they end up trading off Bradley Beal or John Wall, which then, of course, would make a drop-off imminent. I just don't think it's worked. We've talked about this a couple times over the past couple weeks. It just feels like the Beal-Wall era needs to come to an end and they need to start fresh.
Yeah, the chemistry there is just a mess. You know, unless they're able to bring in some positive assets in a trade, I think it's probably a drop-off. Ideally, I think if you trade one, you should just go into rebuild mode, try to open up some of the cap space and kind of work forward and start a new era, which you kind of referenced to.
I just saw the Wizards play actually the other night because they played the Pacers. And I don't know if you saw any of the box score from that game, but at one point in time in the third quarter, the Pacers were up by 25, and Wall didn't play this game. The Pacers were up by 25, completely dominating. Miles Turner had the best game of his career, or the best game of the season that night. And then at one point in time, the Wizards came all the way back, and it was like a 6-point game. Late in the fourth quarter, Pacers stopped scoring. The Wizards actually looked like a basketball team. So there's a lot of, like, that team is still pretty talented. I just want to point that out. But you get these weirdest droughts and runs, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, they only play a couple quarters, they don't play the full game. They usually put themselves in a hole or they'll have a big drought and then they end up, you know, on the wrong side of the game. Now moving over to some players who've had, you know, good starts to the season. Derrick Rose.
Pop off, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Still? Yep.
Yeah. Pop off.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's going to finish in the top three for 6 minutes of the year without question. I don't think it's going to be like a major pop off from what he's putting up now, but I could see the scoring going slightly up, maybe the efficiency going down, but I'm ready for him to really become a true six man. I mean, this has been an incredible campaign to this point. Already has a 50-point game, and as long as he stays healthy, I don't see it going away.
Yeah, I think it's a pop-off because based off of what we've seen the last few seasons, I don't think he's going to get drop off. So I think it's going to, you know, be steady to where he's at and continue to improve and kind of understand his new role. Kyle Kuzma, who's been playing really well for the Lakers.
Pop-off. All of these young guys, aside from Brandon Ingram, I'm not ready to make a verdict on him yet. I think they're starting to really find their kind of rhythm and confidence in themselves with playing against a guy, playing alongside a guy like LeBron James. Kyle Kuzma especially feels like he's overloading with confidence. I think that stems from, you know, LeBron trusts him late in games. Against Miami Heat, you really saw that. LeBron openly was giving Kuzma some important big-time shots down the stretch. So for me, it's pop-off because I think as these kids continue to play well and gain confidence, they're only going to get better.
Yeah, he's really starting to find his rhythm in that team, and I think he's kind of heard some of the hate towards him in the summertime that he couldn't fit or he wasn't that great or he wasn't going to get better. He definitely took that to heart and really picked up his game this year. Steph Curry, who's shooting ridiculous numbers since the return.
Pop-off. At this point in time, he's the MVP of the league.
You think he wins it this year? Obviously a really early take, but if he were to maintain this level and the Warriors obviously are going to finish, if not the best record, top three best record.
Yeah. If everything continues how it is, I think he wins another MVP.
Do you think the stretch that the Warriors had without him even helps his case more?
100%. Because for me, at least from my standpoint, it solidified the fact that Stephen Curry is the best player and the most important player on this team. I may say Durant's better overall, but Curry's impact is way greater than anything of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, the gravity he brings to that team, the energy, the leadership, it's just the intangible
fear.
Yeah, that too. Teams are scared of him, and for good reason. Pascal Siakam.
Pop off. I think as the Toronto Raptors continue to figure out their identity as things, I mean, this is still a team that just inserted Kawhi Leonard, you know, prior to the season. Siakam got a bigger role. I think Kawhi Leonard's really starting. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We said he's probably only like 85%. He's probably like 95% now, if not 100%. He's been phenomenal the last couple of weeks. I think he just got done winning a Player of the Week award. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this team continue to find their identity and Siakam to take another step.
Yeah, Siakam's incredible. The growth he's had in his game, he's a real major factor offensively and defensively. What about another big, Julius Randle?
Pop off. You say he's just cracking the starting lineup too,
yeah,
now, right?
He's been hot too.
So, I mean, obviously, I was a big fan of him when he was a Laker. Pelicans got him on a sweet deal, and I love his energy alongside Davis. I think Pop off is, especially with the more minutes coming, likely Pop off.
Tobias Harris.
I'm kind of leaning towards steady.
Yeah.
I don't really think he's going to drop off per se. I don't think he's going to pop off. I think he's just going to be a very, very steady option for the Clippers, and a guy who a lot of teams, I mean, on a winning championship team, he could be a two or a three, a two pushing it, but he could be a three, I think, on a championship team.
Yeah, I think he definitely could be your third best player just because he's efficient. He, you know, can score. His defense isn't terrible. I think he definitely could be that guy. Let's add somebody else. Let's go with Russell Westbrook.
Pop off.
Yeah, he's due to kind of pick up his game. He's had some rough stretches. He's also had some good stretches, but rough stretches too.
Silently, he is once again averaging a triple-double.
he's missed a triple-double at this point.
Right. And also, his shooting percentages are terrible, right? We know he's not shooting well. But he's shooting the least amount of time he ever has in his career.
Good, getting his teammates involved. That's what I think a lot of people have wanted him to do the last few seasons, and that's great. It's obviously, OKC is what tied for first in the West right now.
Exactly. So for me, I think it's a pop-off because if he's already dishing the ball more, not being, you know, the guy who puts up 27 shots a game, getting the triple-double, because we know he plays all out. I don't care about the stat padding. He really just goes all out. You know, he's always moving on the court. May not always be helpful, but it's how he plays. He plays 100% all the time. And you got to think that eventually some of these shots are going to start falling. Should he be taking 5 threes a game? No, definitely not. But I think he's going to get more efficient as long as everyone else keeps playing around him like they are. So I'm going to say pop off.
Nikola Vucevic.
Drop off. He's been phenomenal. And Orlando just isn't very good. I could even see maybe him getting dealt to a team and not getting the same amount of playing time. But I'm saying drop off.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think his numbers have been kind of out of this world. And not that he's not a great player. It's just that he's not going to be able to maintain this, I think, for the whole season. How about your guy, Miles Turner?
Pop off. I can honestly say, too, I started this afternoon. It'll be coming out this weekend. A little Pacers piece on how they've been playing without Victor Oladipo, because it's pop off for Miles Turner, and it's been incredible, dude. This stretch without Victor Oladipo, how this team has played. They're 9-4. Technically, they're 8-4. They're 9-4 if you count the game Victor Oladipo only played 5 minutes in since he went down with the injury. And Miles Turner, in every game since then, has had the best game of the season. Like, he literally keeps topping his own performances on a nightly basis. He's been phenomenal. And I got to think that getting this confidence now, because this is what we all expected, then Victor Oladipo comes back. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't digress into, you know, being so passive that he continues to play like he is. And this Pacers team could really take off in general alongside Miles Turner, Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like it's really good learning experience for him to feel more confident in himself, too, when Oladipo comes back. You feel like he's playing like a true big. I think, obviously, he's been a good rim protector, but he's been had some really dominant performances protecting the rim, and I think that's obviously something always important to a playoff team. On to the next one, Kemba Walker.
Drop off. And it hurts me to say that, but the start's been incredible, 60-point game. But Charlotte's not very good. And as a team, they're struggling to win basketball games. You know, they are five in their last 10, but even still, I just can't see him putting up these shooting splits all season. I just think at some point in time, there's going to be a drought that kind of brings him back down to earth.
All right, last two, and this is going to be an interesting kind of thing. This is going to be the entire Eastern Conference as a whole. Is it going to pop off or drop off? Are we going to see some of the bottom teams pick it up? Or are they just going to continue to be bad?
Drop off. We're going to see a really big separation between shit teams and good teams.
I could see that. Western Conference, is this, the playoff race going to be as tight all year long? Are we going to see, you know, almost 13, 14 teams competing for the playoffs, or is it going to be a drop-off and it's going to kind of, you know, divide up a little bit?
Pop off. Those 14 teams, man, they're all in it. It's
going to be a wild shootout. They're just going to beat up on all those bad East teams. It's going to be crazy. I think this is a year, if it continues to be this way, you're going to see a lot more people advocate for top 16 in the playoffs instead of top 8 from each conference.
I guess we – okay, we can't just mention it. Where do you stand? What would you prefer?
It's very tough. I mean, I can understand both sides. I hate playing in the middle. But from, you know, being an Eastern Conference fan, you know, I kind of like the top East because it gives them a chance to get there and get in there. But from just like a pure competitive standpoint, it is kind of ridiculous that, you know, you're going to have a team who could end up, who's going to miss the playoffs in the West and be a ninth or 10th seed, and they could have finished as like a top four or a fifth or sixth seed in the East. So I think if it's that bad, you have to consider it. But I also think you have to consider messing around with the schedule then division wide and kind of make it more balanced where everybody's facing everybody a little bit more.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm with you. I mean, obviously, being from the East Coast, I watched a lot more East Coast games, so I care about our side of the standings a lot more. But from a competitive standpoint, you know, the fact of the matter is, like you said, a lot of the better teams are in the West, and some of them are going to miss the playoffs that are going to be more entertaining to see than, let's say, the Orlando Magic were to make the playoffs. Does anyone want to watch Orlando Magic in a 7-game series with the Raptors? No. That is, first of all, we already know who's going to win that. It's not even going to be really close. But that's just a lot of history to change. Not change, but, you know, it's been this way for how long? How long has the NBA been around? So 70-plus years?
Yeah, but I think you look at it from the historical perspective. Like, they do change. They add teams. The divisions have changed. Teams have changed conferences. So it's like, you know, you're just adapting to the new ways. Because like you said, competitive-wise, let's just say a team like New Orleans missed the playoffs and then Orlando's in there. You know, I definitely would rather watch Anthony Davis than anybody in Orlando. And that's no disrespect to any of their players, but Anthony Davis is a great player, one of the best in the league, possibly all-time great if he, you know, continues down this way. So it would just kind of suck to see some of these great players miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I would even be down for an even more complex system, Nick, where the top 16 make it, right? But for the 15th and 16th spot, there's one game playoffs for those two, those four teams.
Yeah. We messed around in the NBA outlet with when Parth Gurati was on here, and we talked about even something that would be really fun. I don't think the NBA would ever do it, but it'd be a cool thing if they had a mid-season tournament. Every team was in it, and it was like March Madness where it was just one game. And it wasn't like you won the finals, but you just won that tournament, and it was just like good for something. But every team had a chance to kind of compete.
That'd be kind of cool too. Yeah, it would be.
And I think it was the year OKC still existed with KD and Westbrook. And like in a one game series, like we picked, I think OKC ended up being the favorite to win it all because in one game, you know, a lot, it's a big difference between a 7-game series.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It's a game like, 7.
Exactly. Hypothetically, you know, one team just gets really hot from three and another team doesn't, and they're pretty much going to lose.
Yeah.
So we'll get a Chicago and a Celtics game. One team just completely gives up in the end and stops playing defense.
Yeah, exactly. So it definitely somewhat we'll probably touch on later in the season, especially with the competitiveness of the Western Conference and the lack of competitiveness in the Eastern Conference. You mentioned the Nets, you know, they were just on an 8-game losing streak, but somehow they're only 2.5 games out of the A seed. So it's just it's kind of remarkable how everything is kind of working out. But that wraps it up for the outlet. Always a pleasure, Corey. Check out the show, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Any support is appreciated. Check us out on Twitter, at OTG Basketball. And like I said, Sunday's episode, we're going to go a little bit longer. It's kind of a little fun express episode for you guys.
Peace out, knuckleheads.